Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guy Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show, where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show, and this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about soulmates and twin souls, with our special guest, Joanne DiMaggio. Soulmates. You know, you see and hear that phrase everywhere, it seems like. Everyone, it seems, is searching for that elusive, perfect romantic partner, but in reality, a soulmate is not always a love interest. Your parents, your kids, your friends, and even your work colleagues can all be your soulmates. But there's a flip side to the soulmate relationship. Some are actually cellmates who keep you emotionally imprisoned. We're going to talk about all of that today, as well as twin souls, a person who is here to work alongside you on the same agenda. And you may meet them and you may never meet them, but they're probably here on Earth. The difference between the three, a soulmate, a cellmate, and a twin soul, is explored in the book by my special guest, Joanne DiMaggio, Soulmates and Twin Souls. And we're going to get into that and so much more today on Guys Guys Radio. You know, a lot of people are still looking for love after the age of 50 even. I do a lot of work on relationships. I've guest on some other shows, particularly on Second Act TV, and it seems like there's so many people, singles out there, over 50 years old, and they're looking for their soulmate. They think that they've never met their soulmate, but they're not exactly sure what a soulmate is. A soulmate doesn't have to be a romantic interest, and you don't need somebody else to complete you, like they said in the Jerry Maguire movie, you complete me. It's not really about that. You're complete already. It's nice to find somebody else you can really relate to and feel is a good partner and a balance for you, but a soulmate isn't necessarily the answer to who you are, but it can be somebody that has a lot of meaning in your life. So we're going to get into that and a lot more right here today on Guys Guys Radio.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, the Guys Guys Radio interview portion of our show, and I'm delighted to have a return guest, Joanne DiMaggio, who's been with us a few times. Today, we're going to talk about Soulmates and Twin Souls, her new book about traveling companions on the road to enlightenment. A little bit about Joanne. She's a respected expert on the topic of reincarnation and soul writing, a member of Edgar Cayce's Association for Research and Enlightenment. And since 1987, she's been there, and she's earned her master's degree in transpersonal studies and her spiritual mentor certificate through Atlantic University. She's published numerous articles and presented talks on past life exploration right here on Guys, Guys Radio, the pre-life planning session, which is very fascinating, and soul writings to global audiences, again, including our show. In addition, she's been a guest on all kinds of podcasts and radio programs. I'm delighted to have her return today. Let me tell you a little bit about a couple of her books before we get started. Soul Writing, Conversing with Your Higher Self, Your Soul Remembers, Accessing Your Past Lives Through Soul Writing, Karma Can Be a Real Pain, Past Life Clues to Current Life Maladies, I Did It to Myself, again, New Life Between Live Case Studies, Edgar Cayce, An Unfulfilled Destiny of Thomas Jefferson Reborn, which was a fascinating show that we did, The Inner Light, How the Beatles Planted the Spiritual Seed in Our Souls, and today we're going to talk about Joanne's new book, Soulmates and Twin Souls, Traveling Companions on the Road to Enlightenment. Welcome back to Guys, Guys Radio, Joanne DiMaggio.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really glad to be here. I love doing repeat shows, people that I really admire and enjoy doing.
Well, thank you so much. We're delighted to have you back. And the new book is fascinating. I was going through it over the weekend and last night. And wow, you say right up front that this is a book you never intended to write. Tell us about that and your journey to becoming a past life therapist. Just lay a little context for why you wrote this book.
Well, this topic, this is ironic because this is a topic that comes up all the time in all the regressions that I do. Inevitably, it has to do with a soulmate or what I like to call a cellmate or a twin soul. But I didn't really want to write a book about it because I thought, oh, everybody's writing about this. Except that somebody very close to me said to me that they were going through a divorce. And the reason they were going through the divorce was because their wife had read up about soulmates and twin flames and decided he was neither of those. So she was letting him go so she could go off and find her true love. And of course, he was very hurt by all this. He called it a bunch of BS. And I thought, oh no, ouch, you know, this is my work. Don't call it that. But anyway, it put the seed in my head that a lot of people, and I knew this from my own practice, a lot of people misunderstand what a true soulmate is. And, you know, you see it everywhere. I was reading AARP magazine, and here's an article about finding your soulmate. A TV commercial for paper towels referenced soulmate. And so it's everywhere. It's everywhere. But it's always in the same context. It is always referencing the other half of you, that part of you that you think is missing. And it's always in the context of a romantic partner. So you go off on this tangent thinking, oh, I have got to find my one true love, my soulmate, not realizing that the true definition of a soulmate is any soul that has been with you in prior lifetimes, which means your parents are your soulmates, your siblings are your soulmates, your relatives are your soulmates, your teachers, your students, your friends, people you work with. Everyone in your circle is a soulmate to you. So I wanted to clarify that. I wanted to sort of break the idea that that you are missing half of yourself, you know, because that idea goes back thousands of years, right? You could see it in ancient literature where Zeus cut the soul in half and now forever you're looking for this other part of you. The truth of the matter is you are whole as you are. You are not in need of another human being to fulfill that. But each of these people in your life, each of these soulmates serves a purpose. And My goal was to first talk about what experts in the field have identified as soulmates and twin souls, give some examples of that. So I'm quoting Edgar Cayce, Michael Newton, Brian Weiss, people like that. And then I went and added 10 volunteers who, when I do a research project and I put the word out that I'm doing a research project, I don't have any problem getting volunteers. So I had about 10 people come forward who said, I'll be in this project with you. And so very happily, they were now all romantic partners. Many of them had a soulmate relationship. One of them had a soulmate relationship with her mother. Another one was a brother-sister relationship. And another one was a what she called a mirrored soul relationship. So it was fascinating because I asked everybody, I said, I want you to come to the project if you know for sure that you're dealing with a soulmate relationship and or cellmate relationship, as it turns out. So that's what constituted the book, that
Okay.
research.
Well, fascinating. Let's level set a couple of things because you mentioned that a lot of people are still looking for their soulmate. There was AARP. I do a lot of shows. I'm a very frequent guest on Second Act TV. It's all about relationships over 50. And I found out that half the America is over 50 is single, and then half the marriages end up in divorce. So that's a lot of single people out there. And invariably, they're looking for something like in Jerry Maguire, the movie, that you complete me. And they don't realize that they are completed already. And so
Exactly.
that's kind of works against them. With that in mind, Joanne, it seems like, and based on my reading your work and other works also, that we come into life, we do some planning beforehand, pre-birth planning, choosing some of the parents, choosing some of the folks who are going to come into our life, and maybe some of our friends from other lives say, I'll do this time. And it could be your mother becomes your husband, and all kinds of things. And I was a part of a past life regression, and I found that my father and my brother were both in it. And one had a, then they was the roles were like, oh my goodness, they weren't great, even though in this life they were pretty good. But I guess the point is, people don't realize that things aren't necessarily by, there aren't as random as they think they are. And a lot of things are predetermined. And a lot of people that come into your life that you feel like you have an instant connection with are there for a reason. So I guess the question is, talk to us about what exactly is a soulmate if it's not the romantic connection, and what is a twin soul then?
Okay, well, a soulmate is somebody with whom you've had a past life connection. It's as simple as that. So it's not limited to male-female relationships. It could be, as I mentioned earlier, it could be your parents or your soulmates, your brothers or sisters, people you work with, anybody. I should back up. We travel together as a soul family, as a pod. Think of it that way. All right. So the same souls that are around you today have been with you since the beginning of time. And we just come over and over. The advantage of that is that they know you on a very intimate level. They know which buttons to press. They know what you're working on, right? They know how to bring out the best in you, and they know how to bring out the worst in you. So what happens is, in each subsequent lifetime, like you mentioned, we'll change roles. So your mother in this life could have been your husband in a previous life. So the gender changes, the roles change, but the essence of that soul stays the same. That's why one of the questions I ask at the end of a regression, are there any people from that past life in your life now? And I tell people, feel them out, feel the essence of them. And a lot of people, well, yeah, my mother feels an awful lot like my husband in that life. Well, chances are that's the switcheroo that happened. So we all come in with each other with an understanding and an agreement. We know what your soul's purpose is going to be. We know what you're going to work on in the next lifetime. You work all this out in the afterlife, right? So you're with your group of souls, and you go, hey, I'm coming in to my next life, and I'm going to work on abandonment because I abandoned somebody in my previous life, and I need to balance that out. And so members of your soul family go, okay, fine, we're going to come in with you, and at some point, we're going to abandon you so that you can feel what that's like, and then you can work through it. That's maybe an oversimplification, but that's basically how it works. So you go and you pick out your mom and dad. I love to tell my children that they picked me. I didn't pick them. You pick them because of the socioeconomic environment that you know you're going to get born, you'll be born into. So you already know basically, you know, your race, you know what country you're going to be born into, you know, probably what city or neighborhood, you know what nationality or ethnic background you're going to have, you know probably what religious belief system you're getting born into. A lot goes into it. And one of the things that we do in the pre-life planning session that I do with clients is I'll say to them, you know, why did you pick that woman to be your mother? Out of all the souls you could have had, why was it that one? What is it that she taught you that no other soul, no other woman would have been able to teach you had she been your mother? And that helps them to narrow it down more. This is what I learned from this woman. Whether they perceive of it as good, bad, or indifferent, there's something specific to it. Same thing with your father. So, and then members of your soul family will step forward one at a time to say, okay, Charlie, I'm coming in with you. I'm going to be cousin Dave, and my purpose is to teach you the difference between truth and lies, because I'm going to lie to you all the time. So there's all kinds of fun stuff kind of going on there. You know, not so much fun, but there's purpose of nothing. You know, Edgar Casey said nothing in life is random. So, you know, you plan it out the way you would plan your curriculum at school. You know, when you're you go before your guidance counselors at school, they look at your report card, they go, oh, you have to take this class over again because you didn't pass it, or you have to take this one because you won't be able to go to the next level until you do this one. And you know, so and you plan a curriculum, and then you get all your tools in your little backpack, and you come to Earth. And then you forget completely about why you're here, but you knew before you came here. And so then on this side of the veil, you know, the challenge is to remember. The challenge is to understand, to see, oh, you know, I've got this pattern in my life, and it just happens over and over and over. And what the heck? Why is this happening? And same thing with like a chronic illness. You know, what I've gone to every doctor there is. I'm not satisfied with anything they're telling me. I don't understand why I feel this way. Well, many times the answer is in a prior lifetime. So that's some of what we explore when I do a regression with them.
A couple of things come to mind. Let's stop on that point. The people, how much of the physical aspect of it is related to their having an illness versus some type of karmic or predisposed notion that they have to experience that in this life?
You know what's interesting about that? Dr. Norm Shealy, rest his soul, I saw him at an ARE conference on medical intuition. Now he was a medical doctor. The first thing he said when he walked on stage was he believed all illness is past life related. All illness is past life related. Can you imagine? I mean, he blew my mind when I heard that, and I thought, here's a medical doctor saying this. This is real important. Let's all sit up and pay attention. And that's when I went into my, this is how I get my projects, you know, my research project. Somebody will say something like that to me, and I'll go off on a tangent. Next thing you know, I've got a whole book on that topic. But yeah, so many of them, chronic illnesses do begin with something that happened in a prior, and I've got some fascinating case histories. So does Mr. Casey. You know, he gave 14,000 readings during his lifetime. 12,000 of those were health readings. And
Amazing.
so many of them go back to, you know, your obesity in this life is related to the fact that you used to make fun of obese people in your previous life.
Okay.
Or
So
you're dealing with blindness because you were, you know, you blinded somebody. So it's perfectly logical and beautiful.
Okay, my special guest on Guys Guys Radio, return guest, one of our favorites, Joanne DiMaggio, the new book, Soulmates and Twin Souls, Traveling Companions on the Road to Enlightenment. And we'll get to twin souls in a moment, but let's just go back to that pre-birth time frame because I think that's so fascinating. I don't know if you're familiar with Christian Sundberg.
No.
He's pretty well known, a pre-birth person. He remembers everything that happened with him pre-birth.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, maybe I can connect you guys. But
Yeah.
the point is, if time is not linear, but we experience time here as linear. So if you're in the pre-birth situation and you're working with your team, I guess, to determine, okay, this next life I have to experience and get over some of my pay back some karma and get up, get over some hurdles. So everybody's on the team's going to have a different role and they may be volunteering this and that. I'm assuming that their path is happening concurrently. So if somebody's going to be Uncle Harry in this life for you, what's happening with that person in their incarnation? And is it at the same time or is everything simultaneous?
Well, now you're getting into the other part of past life work that I don't get into, and that, there's a lot of people that are doing research who are into the quantum physics part of this whole thing and parallel lives and all of that. I am of the mindset, in the 35 years that I've been doing this work and study, I'm a KC student, so I base a lot of on that. One soul, one body. That's my outlook on it. All this other stuff in terms of, parallel lives, multiple lives, is absolutely, totally, 100% plausible to me. It just hasn't been in my wheelhouse. It hasn't
Got
been
it.
something that I have had to deal with. I had somebody the other day that he kept insisting he was an adult. He was in the 19 His lifetime occurred in the 1950s. So when it's that close to the time period we're in now, I get a little concerned that there's going to be an overlap, because I've had a few people overlap. I don't have an explanation for that.
Okay,
It's not
fair
my
enough.
thing.
So, from your experience, how long does it take for a person to come back? And knowing that time again is kind of everything's happening at the same time, it's not linear. How long does it take? And what is the process where somebody determines, it's time to come back? They get the honor, I guess, of coming to Earth and having a team and developing their game plan. And then who kind of executes the game plan? Who from the spiritual realm is there to kind of coordinate and make it all happen? Are this angels, guides, spirit? How does that all work
Well,
from your experience?
we're never alone. Obviously, we have a spirit guide who's with us all the time, and you can access information from them. One of the ways you do that that I teach is through soul writing, which is a written form of meditation. I have found the average between lives is 50 to 200 years. It depends on a lot of factors, obviously. In the case of a suicide or premature death, of somebody killed in a war or murdered, those souls come back immediately, because it's like dropping out of school. You didn't get to finish, so you got to come back right away. And they usually pop up almost immediately and have to start all over again. So
Did
we
they
come.
people like that, Joanne, did they choose to experience this life and taking their life, or is that part of the free will?
Well, they had free will. They could have chosen otherwise. So yeah, they made that
Okay.
decision. I like to counsel people who are even considering that. And again, that's a little bit above my pay scale. To really seriously think about the consequences in the next lifetime before you make a decision, especially if you're older. Older people that are just about finished with this life, why start all over again? Because believe me, it's going to be more difficult. If you don't finish it this time around, it's not going to be easier the next time around. It's going to get harder. So I say stick with it. You're almost to the finish line, and let it play itself out. Watch the decisions that you make. Think about it from that point of view. How am I setting up the next lifetime by the decisions I'm making now? One of the questions I ask at the end of a regression is, what were your last thoughts as your soul exited that body? Because that often sets up the next lifetime. I don't know if I told you that story about the woman I had who had head-to-toe psoriasis, and she came to me wondering, why she had the psoriasis, and she ended up going to a past life as a call girl in the Old West. And when she died, she says her last thoughts were, "I don't want to be touched anymore." So she comes into the next life and she manifests a skin condition in which nobody wants to touch her. So
Wow.
that's why I say to people, watch those last
Words,
thoughts.
man. Words
You
have
know,
power, yeah.
when you and the Buddhists talk a lot about that as well, about how important that is.
Okay. The name of the book is Soulmates and Twin Souls, Joanne DiMaggio, Traveling Companions on the Road to Enlightenment. So let's talk about twin souls. We talked a little bit about soulmates. It's not necessarily romantic, and it could be you're part of a soul group and you come into this life together and other lives together to play different roles on the path of ascension and learning along the way. What is a twin soul, and what do people get wrong about that?
Well, you have many, many soulmates, but you only have one twin soul, just
Okay.
one. And they don't necessarily have to be the opposite sex. They could be the same sex as you. They don't have to incarnate in the same location as you. They could be on the other side of the world, or they could actually be helping you from the other side. The way to identify a twin soul is that you have a common mission. You have the same purpose. So it's like you're, I don't know what that term is, where you're double teaming it or double timing it. So you have separate bodies, but your minds are thinking alike. So a good example, those are your listeners who know about Edgar Cayce and his secretary Gladys Davis, they were twin souls. So when Mr. Cayce died, Gladys felt that her mission was to save the ARE and to save the readings. So that was her singular focus, whereas his wife Gertrude was his soulmate. She wasn't his twin soul. So Gertrude was helpful and everything like that, but she didn't have the singular focus like the way Gladys did. So that's basically the difference. And you can go through an entire life and never meet your twin soul. There's no guarantee that you will. But yeah, that's the thing. You only have one. There's no one upsmanship between the two of you. No competition going on, where you see that a lot with soulmates. And you get a two for one when you're working on the same issues.
So what would be the kind of telltale signs that you have connected with your twin soul to get in this lifetime and you actually meet? I'm assuming that doesn't always happen, but it could happen.
It could happen. When I met TJ Davis, I was convinced he was a soulmate. Well, he was a soulmate, but he was actually a twin soul because he and I were on the same page in terms of the work that we both wanted to do. Now, he couldn't do it to the extent that he wanted to, but he sort of, it was almost like the Edgar Cayce Gladys Davis scenario. Again, we both wanted to promote Cayce's work. We were not in a romantic relationship. But we had the same goal. We were right on in line with that. And we could tell we knew each other from other lifetimes. It was obvious. So there was that going on as well. Generally, you can just use if you use the whole definition of do we have the same interests? Are we working on and the same goal? That will differentiate it more than a soulmate relationship.
And the twin souls, do they always get along, or could they just have a lot of commonalities and their personality-wise could be very different? And maybe they don't decide to hang out together if they meet. Is that possible? Or is like they connect and that's it?
I would imagine it is because I think most people don't even meet their twin souls in
Okay.
any given lifetime. They could be, like I said, they could be on the other side of the world, but they're doing the same
Okay.
thing you're doing on a big universal
Got it.
scale. You could see it, but you can't necessarily see it on the earth plane.
Now, you did a lot of research, as you always do with your work, and you did 10 case studies, I believe, were included in the book. What did you tell us a little bit about that process? What did you learn? What was the biggest surprises, and what was the most fascinating thing that occurred along the way?
Most of the cases that I did had to do with soulmate relationships in the truest sense of the word. So, in other words, these were husband and wife situations. Many of them had had trauma in prior lifetimes at the hands of each other. And they were repeating patterns in this life from the previous lifetimes. Many of them came together with a sense of a deep love. I have one chapter called What's Love Got to Do With It? Because you could be with somebody that you truly, truly love on a very deep level, but you cannot live with them in this life. You just can't. So there was a lot of trauma. There was a lot of financial problems with some of them. There was one, and a lot of subconscious ideas were planted in some of them from the previous life that were playing themselves out. Holly and Jack, for instance, they had been together in a previous life as Giselle and Xavier. Giselle was Xavier's niece. She lived in France. She came into the inheritance. Xavier lived here in the United States. He sent for her. She wanted a career as a designer, a clothing designer. And so he brought her to the United States and wanted to marry her off to somebody so that he could get the money from her inheritance once she got married. And so she fought him on that. But what's interesting in all these cases, if you listen to the language that they use in describing the relationships, when they describe it in the past life, it's almost identical to what's going on now. So in her case, she would say things like, "I never got to finish. My uncle sidelined me. I felt like a prisoner. I couldn't say or do anything. I had no control over my life." So what happens in this life? She meets Xavier again, this time as a school friend. They meet later in life. They're both in their 60s. He says to her, come and live with me. Come to New York and live with me." And the same pattern repeats itself all over again. And they end up splitting. But that kind of a pattern happened over and over. Something brought them together. They remembered this great love on some level. It brought them together. But then when they actually started to deal with the issues from that lifetime, they realized this was not a good fit. So there were those stories in there. And also I had a mother-daughter story that had to do with the Russian Revolution. It was the first intergenerational past life stories that I'd heard in a long time, where the daughter is the mother, is the daughter, it was very confusing. The one that we had that was a sibling, brother and sister, they went back to a lifetime in Egypt. So that was really interesting. But the one that was the most interesting, I saved for last, and that was Melanie and Mustafa. They met through Facebook. Melanie lived in Chicago. Mustafa lived in Morocco. And she went into great detail about their etheric love affair, which actually, I didn't blush, but if I were the kind that would blush, I would have blushed at what she was talking about, how they could make love etherically from a distance. Turns out that she claimed they were mirrored souls, which I heard that title, but I didn't really get into it too much. And I believe this is her last lifetime, and he was sent to help prepare her. They ended up getting married. She went to Morocco, and they got married. And unfortunately, he developed cancer not too long after that, and he passed. So now he's working with her from the other side. But their love story is really fascinating. So every single one of them had a story to tell, and every single one of them had a happy ending once they figured out what this pattern was that was holding them back. And we worked on that, and then they were either, they were set free, or at least they knew they had the key. They knew what they needed to do in order to end that pattern and be free of it once and for all.
Unbelievable. Do people, how much, based on your experience and talking to these folks, how much of the people's lifetime is predetermined and how much is free will and random? Well, you always have free will, but random. I mean, day-to-day life, obviously, there's got to be a lot of randomness there, but some of the key, I would assume some of the key experiences in life are predetermined because it's part of your path.
Well, but you can make a different decision. You can make a different choice, that you're going to go on a different path. If something may present itself to you, and you think about it, and then you say, "Nah, I'm not going to do that." That's what happened to T.J. Davis. When Edgar Casey gave him a reading at 2 days old and said he was the reincarnation of Thomas Jefferson. And I think we talked about that.
Yes, we did.
Of course, he was a child. He couldn't exactly make up his own mind about the direction his life was going to go when he was a child. But his parents did not do what Casey wanted them to do in order to keep him on the path that would lead him to fulfilling Casey's prophecy that he could do for the world what Jefferson did for this country. Of course, he never did that. That weighed really heavy on his mind. I'm reminded that Mr. Casey said that nothing in life is random. So no matter what happens, if you step back, if your mindset is such that you say, well, I'm going to sit back and look at this and go, what did I learn from this? What did this present to me that I wouldn't have paid any attention to if this hadn't happened? And then if you can see a lesson in it and apply that, and then you can move on, you don't have to deal with it again. But if you don't recognize that, it's going to repeat itself in various forms over and over again. So I think having that awareness that nothing is random, that there's meaning in everything, would be real helpful to people.
All right, the book is Soulmates and Twin Souls, Traveling Companions on the Road to Enlightenment. Our special guest, Joanne DiMaggio. To make this put into some practicality for people, how they can use this information. My understanding, Joanne, is that when people have crossed over, it's e because of frequency, it's easier for them to be aware of our reaching out to them, yet more difficult for us to get the information that we would like to back because they have to get into a they have to become denser to get to the 3D. Is that true? And how can people communicate with folks on the other side if they want to have this type of relationship or be able to take advantage of the guidance that might be available to them?
Well, I think that when I think about people on the other side, and this includes my own family and friends and stuff like that, they have their own agenda on the other side. They have work they need to do. And if we hold them earthbound by constantly wanting to be in touch with them and all this, we're not doing them a service at all, I don't think. We have guides. There are entities that are specially tasked with taking care of us. We've each, if you're Catholic, you believe in a guardian angel, and that angel stays with you from the moment of birth till the moment of death. And so there are ways to communicate. That's why I teach the soul writing, because soul writing is writing in an altered state of consciousness. So then you go into meditation, surround yourself with white light, say a prayer always, and then you can ask any question you want and you will get guidance. You'll get answers. It's like I always say, I think of it as a little phone home card that we got put in our little backpacks when we came to Earth. And we're told by our creator, now listen, you might get into some trouble down there on the Earth. You might ask your friends and family and everybody to get help, and nothing's going to make any sense to you. Hey, just call us. There's somebody here 24/7. We'll always talk to you. But then we forget. We forget that we have that tool. So that's one of the things that I do teach people to do. And the one thing that everybody said to me when they do that writing is, I don't feel alone. I know that there's somebody with me all the time. Whereas before they didn't feel that at all. But the writing, having the message come through that pen onto the paper is a very personal and beautiful relationship between us and spirit. So I like to think, I've got somebody that's been assigned to me. He or she knows everything there is to know about me. I'm not going to contact my mom or dad or my grandparents or anybody else that's passed over. Let them do their work. I'll see them soon enough, when we have our little reunion when I'm on the other side as well. So, that's my mindset on that.
What are the biggest learning that you've gotten personally from doing the work you've been doing for the past 35 years about pre-birth, soulmates, twin souls, past lives, karma, predetermination of that nothing is random, etc. Any big aha moments for you, Joanne?
No, because one of the things I tell people is, after 35 years, nothing surprises me. I always, I tell people, don't be worried about what you're going to share with me because it won't surprise me. And I don't judge. I have absolutely no judgmental at all. I am more and more and more convinced that this is the way the universe has us pegged. That, I started looking into reincarnation when I was a teenager because I was growing up Catholic, went to Catholic school, was not happy with the answers I was getting from the nuns and priests. It made no sense to me. I thought, how could a just God treat his people like that? So I started looking into it, and I have not looked back since. To me, it is the ultimate system of justice in the universe, and it just keeps me going. No matter how bad things get, like right now, I keep thinking to myself, something good is going to come out. Something really good is coming down the pike. We just have to get through this. So you trust a higher power. You trust that somebody's got your back. They're looking out for you. You decided you wanted to come in right now. You wanted to experience this. You wanted to be a part of this. Edgar Casey used to say it was a privilege to be born in the United States. You had to earn that to be born in the United States. So those of us that are here are very privileged. I've had several lifetimes here. Hope to have more, but it's the continuity and it's the knowing that we're not alone on this journey and that there is an end, there is a destination down there. Like at the subtitle book, Traveling Companions on the Road to Enlightenment. Well,
That's
that road is going to eventually lead to the enlightenment, right? So yeah, that's where we're headed. That's what I've
So
learned.
as if it's a traveling companions, how about the whole aspect of ETs or Palladians or Arcturians or interdimensional beings? Does that come into context with your work you're doing? Do you ever hear anything about that when you're doing a regression on somebody, that they recall themselves living in another place, not on Earth, or is it strictly
Yeah,
earthbound?
I like I said, of the 35 years that I've been doing this work, I can count on one hand the number of people who said they were from another star system. Usually it's somebody that's here and they're very lonely. They're having a hard time acclimating. Sometimes we remember being on another planet, but we're not from there. We just went like to Arcturus. Someplace like that, to do some studying. There was one in particular who remembered a lot of healing instruments that he brought with him and where he buried them. But like I said, I can just count on one hand the number of those. Edgar Casey said whatever begins on the earth needs to end on the earth.
It's like
So
Vegas, right?
most of my clients, most of my clients are earthbound for sure.
Do you find that there are many folks who've coming in that you've worked with that are, I guess it's a two-part question. Are there new souls coming in to Earth for the first time? And have you experienced any of them in your sessions? Like, this is my first time on Earth.
No, there's no such thing as an old soul, or a new soul. Or a young soul. We were all created at the exact same time, all of us. The difference between us is that some of us come to Earth more often than others. So, you might see a child and say he's a prodigy. Well, he's done this before. He's, learned to play the piano like Mozart, or he was Mozart, I don't know. Some souls are kind of lazy, they don't want to come to Earth very often. And so the ones who come often are the overachievers, like I like to say, or I also say old souls are slow learners. We come back over and over because we can't quite figure it out. We haven't figured this out yet, so we've got to come back and try again. So I have not found any new souls at all.
But it sounds like if you're here on planet Earth and in the United States, that's a good thing. You're on a good trajectory, right? Fantastic. Okay, my
That's
special
true.
guest, Guys Radio, Joanne DiMaggio, in a new book, Soulmates and Twin Souls, Traveling Companions on the Road to Enlightenment. Thank you so much, Joanne. I look forward to the next book, and
Thank you.
God bless and keep doing the work you're doing.
I appreciate that. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
UK House Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, another fascinating conversation with our special guest, Joanne DiMaggio, back here on Guys Guys Radio, discussing her latest book, Soulmates and Twin Souls, Traveling Companions on the Road to Enlightenment. And we got into the definitions of a soulmate, the cellmate, and the twin soul. So with the soulmate, I think the biggest takeaway is that when we realize that, and we mentioned this at the top of the show, that you really don't need somebody else to complete you. It's not like the Jerry Maguire movie, you complete me. You already are complete. As Joanne mentioned, that this person is somebody who's part of this bigger collective of people and souls, really, that have been with you through many incarnations that are here to help you on your journey and learn the lessons you need to learn in this particular incarnation. That's a soulmate. Could it be a romantic partner? Could it be your wife or husband? Sure, it can be, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work in that way. According to Joanne, a lot of times when we come back into a new incarnation, a soulmate from our previous life might show up in a different role. For instance, somebody that was your husband could turn into your daughter in the next life, according to Joanne. So something to chew on, something to think about. And then you look at the whole concept of cellmates. Is this person that you want to be your soulmate and you're hanging on to maybe not the right person for you from a romantic standpoint and maybe emotionally holding you back? So if you're not happy in a relationship with somebody you think is your soulmate and it looks like you are in a cellmate relationship that's holding you back, what can you do about it? Well, first of all, you have to identify that and determine, is this a soulmate or a cellmate situation? And what do I need to do to free myself up if it is a cellmate situation? Because every situation is going to be different, obviously. So you have to take the time to step back and say, is this person making me feel good about myself? Is this person somebody I enjoy being with? Is this person have similar values to me and I really feel like I know them really well and we've been together before? Maybe, maybe not, but that's up to you to determine. In terms of the cellmate, if you're in the cellmate relationship, once again, you know, you have to make the changes that you need to make to keep yourself free and happy, and you determine where you want to go using your free will. We also discussed twin souls, people who are very much like us, not in a soulmate relationship per se, but somebody who has similar values and you feel like they're almost a mirror image of yourself. And according to Joanne, many times we meet them in life and we feel an immediate connection to them. And sometimes we go through our entire incarnation on Earth here and we just don't meet that person, but they're out there. But the bottom line is you've got to live your life. You have free will. You have to make a determination how you want to approach each and every day. Just do your thing. Live, live, live. And love yourself, of course. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.